think we're on tape now. Just by way of introduction, my name is Rick Huhn, H-U-H-N. I'm a member of the Sabre organization. And on the other end of the line here, I have David Sisler, the former Major League Baseball player. And David, do you go by Dave or David?
I go by Dave.
Okay. Dave is here today, and we're going to discuss his former ball career, some of his background, and that type of information. And let me just start out, Dave, by making sure that I've got some of the background information and that it's accurate. If I have this right, it's David Michael Sisler. Is that correct?
That's right.
S-I-S-L-E-R. And you were born on October 16th, 1931 in St. Louis, Missouri?
That's right.
Okay. Your father is George Sisler, the former baseball player and member of the Baseball Hall of Fame.
That's right.
And if I recall from my work on your family, your mother is Kathleen?
Yes.
Okay. And you had two other brothers and a sister, so there were four Sisler children in all. Is that correct?
That's right.
One being your oldest brother was George Sisler Jr.
Right.
And then he is now deceased.
Right.
Within the past year or so, and then your next oldest brother would be Dick Sisler.
Right.
Also a former Major League Baseball player.
Right.
And your sister is Frances Drockelman.
Right.
Okay. So you were the youngest of the four.
Right.
And if I recall, you were raised in the St. Louis, Missouri area. Is that correct?
That's right.
When you came along, was your dad still playing Major League Baseball, or had he retired at that point in 1931?
No, I believe he retired in 1928. I think he had 1 year in the minors. I think he played in Shreveport or someplace like that where he was playing manager or something rather. But I think he had 1 year down in the minors.
Okay.
But that was in 1928, so by the time I came along, he was no longer in baseball.
Okay, that's kind of what I remember, too. I think he played with Rochester at some point in the minors. That was after his full major league career had ended. Do you recall that at all?
Or? I'm not sure. That.
Okay, and then maybe ended up down in Texas with Shreveport or some of the teams down in the Texas League.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, having been raised in the St. Louis area, can you give me any idea when you first became interested in baseball and started playing baseball yourself?
Oh, I've played baseball my whole life. With my dad's reputation and my brother's active participation in high school and college, and then when Dick signed with the minor leagues, I've always had my dad was in the sporting goods business, so I always had the gloves around and the bats, and I lived in a very advantageous neighborhood where I had a lot of kids that were just slightly older than I was, and we played stick ball and cork ball and all kinds of Indian ball and any kind of ball there was.
Sure.
We'd play it, and the competition was there was such that I had to do a little bit better because they were all older than I am.
So normally you'd be playing with maybe an older group of boys from your neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, that's like I was 10 and they were 11, 12, and 13 kind of a thing. So it just... It was very competitive, and we chose upsides and, the whole thing.
Oh, sure.
And we played not only, baseball, but we played football, touch football as well.
Okay. Do you recall, when was your first, introduction to organized baseball by way of, I would call it Little League or Pony League or high school baseball, junior high. Do you recall when that was?
Well, they didn't have a whole lot of organized baseball like the Little League, per se. So, I think I had to be in, I think before I'd played much hardball at all, it was probably I was a sixth grader. That would make...
Uh-huh.
And So when I was 12 and 13, I think I played with a team in the Catholic League in St. Louis. I wasn't Catholic, but I got to go down and play with them, and a team called Murray Monument. And I played. So that was really my first introduction to baseball.
I see. And when you say Murray, like M-U-R-R-A-Y?
Yeah, I think M, and then Monument just as you would spell Murray.
Right. if I have the records right, you were a right-handed batter and thrower. Is that correct?
That's right.
Do you recall when you first started playing baseball? Did you eventually you became a pitcher? Did you start out pitching exclusively, or did you play different positions as well?
I played different positions. I think I started out at my school, grade school, which was John Burroughs. I was a shortstop. And then they needed another pitcher, and I think the first time I ever pitched a game, I had pitched one couple of games with Murray Monument, I think. And then when I was a freshman in high school was probably the first time that I competitively pitched in a high school game, a varsity game as a freshman.
And that was at John Burroughs?
John Burroughs.
And
right.
If I remember that, that was a B-U-R-R-O-U-G-H-S?
Right.
And I also remember something in connection that your dad possibly had something to do with that school, or at least involved in the initial effort.
All four kids went to John Burroughs. I was the only one that was fortunate enough to go there 6 years. It was grade 7 through 12. And my two older brothers had gone through there and done well, and I got through. And it's a wonderful school. It's a private school, and luckily I had a scholarship.
Oh, that's terrific. And so you actually had a scholarship to go to the school itself.
It's funny. If you would look back at my academic career, I had 6 years at John Burroughs School, and I had 4 years at Princeton, and I think the total cost for all of that was probably $1,000 or something.
Well, your parents appreciated that.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, your older brothers had also played baseball at John Burroughs, is that correct?
Right, right.
And so you're kind of following in their footsteps.
Yeah. My oldest brother was a pitcher, and my Dick was a outfielder, I think he was.
Okay.
He was a good hitter.
Uh-huh. He was the hitter in the family.
Right.
The John Burroughs baseball team, did you play then all 6 years, play baseball?
Yes, in some form or another. Of course, you know, the seventh and eighth grade, it was just, you know, smaller stuff that we played between ourselves, not one school versus another, or in any league. And that was when I was playing at Murray Monument, I believe. And then I played 4 years on the varsity there.
And did you play any other sports in high school?
Yes, I played everything. I played football and basketball. I was all district in football, and I was all state in basketball. And then I also did a couple of dumb things on the track, on the track team.
Oh, you ran track as well.
It was the competition wasn't much. You better put in there in strong letters.
Were you a runner, or did you have one of the field events in track?
Oh, I don't know. I fooled around with the high hurdles and the low hurdles and relay team, I don't know. I think I think my senior year I threw the discus a couple of times, probably to my baseball coach's chagrin, but I tried it.
Well, you were pretty good size, 6'4", 200, according to our records. Is that about right?
Well, I was 6'4", 200 by the time I got into professional baseball, but at the time I was a senior in high school, I was 6'4", and probably 175, 180.
Would that have made you a center in basketball in high school?
Yeah, I sure did.
That's what I thought with that size. That back then, 6'4", was pretty good. And we're talking about what, I suppose, would that have been the late 1940s at that point?
1949.
Okay.
Our school got to the finally, we won the sub-regional, the regional, which we, they never had done before, and they went to the state tournament, and we got to the semifinals in the state and lost by 1 point.
Oh, my gosh.
But we had a bunch of kids that had played with each other, you know, the whole time, and it was a good group, and when we almost made it.
That's terrific. That really is.
It was a very, very small school, and there was no, you know, class 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 at that time. It was just all in one group.
So the bigger schools and the smaller schools, kind of like what they do now still over in Indiana, I believe, where they don't have the classification. They have the classifications, but by the end of the year, they're pretty much all lumped together for the state championship.
Right. That's on the positive side of it. On the negative side of it, I was born in 1931, and I suppose you had to be a real dummy to have a child in 1931, which was the height of the Depression.
Sure.
And so, the competition might have been somewhat less, and of course there were no black players at that time.
I see.
So basketball was a different game.
Oh, yeah. Well, so you played basketball in high school, and then in baseball, by then, were you in high school playing one particular position or still?
I was pretty much a pitcher at that point. I was a junior and senior in high school. I was pretty much a pitcher, although I might play first base for the high school team when I wasn't pitching, because I still could hit a little bit at that point. But I was basically a pitcher. And because I not only played with the high school team, then I played in a summer semi-pro league there that was going on.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about that. Then, first on your high school, do you remember what kind of success did you have at that point in high school with your pitching?
Well, I had pretty good success. I didn't lose too many games. We played a lot. I don't know how many games we played. We didn't play very many games, maybe 20 some odd games, and then there was another pitcher that pitched every once in a while. So I didn't lose too many, but I don't know my exact record. I could always throw the ball real hard. I was blessed with those Sisler genes that I could throw, and I had real good coordination. I wasn't the strongest person in the world, but back then I didn't know that, and I didn't, I was felt strong because I played football. But,
sure.
When I got competitively in with the rest of the pros, eventually, I wish I had built myself up more.
So you pretty much were dependent on your fastball at least early on.
I was always a hard thrower.
Nice.
From the time I first started to the last pitch in the major leagues, I was always a hard thrower, and just a slight bit off with control, but I could always throw. And then another weakness I was very nearsighted, and so I in high school I didn't wear glasses, or in college. But finally, when I went in the Army, I started wearing glasses, and by the time I was playing pro ball, I was wearing glasses when I pitched, which were a real pain.
Yeah. By that time, were fellows that played baseball and wore glasses, is that a little bit more prevalent? Because I know back in your dad's day, that was, very unusual. I think there was one or two players, and that was it.
There used to be a pitcher named Walt Masterson that used to pitch for the Washington Senators, I think, and I had a baseball card of him, and he had a great big goggly pair of glasses on and had a tint to them, and so when I got to the point that I wanted glasses, I went and tried to buy some just like he had. That was the extent of my research into it, which was dumb. But I eventually found ways to try and keep them tied closely to my head and all this stuff. But I didn't get any help from too many people.
No, no.
Princeton tried to get me to get some bifocal lens, the lens,
like a contact.
Yeah,
type
contact one? Lenses, and that didn't work because the contact lenses weren't perfected back then, and I couldn't wear them. So,
at what point did you
that's
first?
My phone that's ringing, so don't worry about it. We'll just go on.
At what point did you first start wearing glasses?
Probably the freshman in college.
Freshman in college, okay. Now, in high school, do you recall...
No, that's not true at all. It was... I went through college without glasses. In fact, I played all those sports there without glasses in college. So it was really my first year in the Army.
Oh, okay.
I had to go in the Army after I was through college.
All right.
Back in the Korean War days.
And that was probably the first time you started wearing the glasses.
Right.
Now, in anything special in high school as far as did you get any special honors? You mentioned All-State, but I think you said that was in basketball.
Yeah, I was the most valuable player in the St. Louis district in basketball and in All-State in basketball and in baseball. They didn't have an all-district team somehow in baseball that I remember. I don't remember any great honors that I won in high school as a player.
Okay.
But
did your team, did they have tournaments also in baseball back then?
They did not have any tournaments, so you just had your own little league, and we had a dumb little league called the ABC League, which were four teams in it, and one was a military academy, one was a Christian Science school, and then there was Burroughs and Country Day, and we won that every year for the 4 years I was playing. So, it really wasn't much of an honors kind of a thing.
Well, and you also mentioned that you played some semi-pro ball.
Yeah, I played with a team called Barford Chevrolet. And Barford Chevrolet had a team in the semi-pro league that played on Sunday afternoons. And I played with a lot of older players there who were around and who might have played pro ball and then come back and worked and whatever. And that was good baseball. And I pitched there and did well. We went to the state tournament in Missouri, got beat in the finals, and then the team that beat us had an ability to pick two players, and they picked me and another guy, and we went to Wichita. And went to the national semi-pro team.
So that was the Congress. That I think out there that was something the Congress of baseball or
yeah,
something.
And it so happened that my dad was in head of that.
That's what I was going to ask you because I remembered that during my research.
And when I pitched out there, that was the first time my dad had ever seen me pitch.
So he had not come to your high school games.
Oh no, never. Dad would never go to a high school. I mean, he would never put that pressure on me, nor did he really, he was working downtown and he took the bus down to work and then he was away with the Dodgers. He was a scout with the Dodgers, and so most of the time I was growing up and playing baseball, he had never seen me pitch. He may have seen me warm up or I finally, as when I was a senior in high school, when I was a junior in high school, my folks moved to New York, which was a blow, because my dad got a job with the Dodgers.
And that was through his old friend and mentor, Branch Rickey, if I recall.
Right. He was named director of scouting. Before that, he had just been a scout, and had gone on, and he operated out of St. Louis.
And that was with the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Right. So then he was director of scouting, and Mom and I had to move to Long Island, to Brooklyn, and so I arranged to stay in St. Louis and have my senior year in high school there, which was a great move on somebody's part to arrange that. And but during that summer, when I was a junior, I used to go work out at Ebbets Field with the Dodgers,
right,
and all their tryouts and stuff, and which Dad was in charge of, and I'd pitch. They'd have a tryout day, and there must have been 200 kids that show up, and they'd put them all out in center field and have them throw home. Then they'd put them all at home plate and have them run 60 yards down the first baseline. And based on those two results, they'd probably let four or five of them hit. And when they had four or five of them to hit, then this other fellow and I would throw batting practice to them, and so I got a chance to work out in a major league park, which was fun.
Sure.
That was got me there. And then a couple times I worked out with the with the Dodgers, and threw batting practice to the Dodgers one time, and then one time I threw special hitting to Jackie Robinson.
That's what I was going to ask you. I think you had mentioned that during our previous interview for my book, that that you had pitched to Robinson, and
his dad was batting coach, you know, and Robinson wanted some extra hitting, and so I just went about 10 minutes, threw 10 minutes to him.
That must have been a thrill.
Oh, it was just to be around those major leaguers was a thrill. Of course, I had grown up sort of at the ballpark, so it wasn't the amount of thrill to me that it was to some other people who hadn't gone through that.
Now, you had mentioned that one of the first times your dad ever saw you pitch was out there in Wichita, and that he pretty much had not tried to pressure you. Tell me a little bit about that, as to how he what his approach was with regard to your playing any kind of sports, particularly his own sport of baseball.
Well, this was basically a hands-off approach. He had set the example, and every person I ever talked to about him was that he was such a gentleman, and what a high character kind of person was. And he always had said to me, the minute I ever remembered, that I should get an education first, and then any sports that might come after that was, you know, all up to however it worked out. But his emphasis was on me getting an education, and not only getting an education, but doing well at school. And his push was strictly on the academic side of things. Of course, he's always interested that I had enough ball gloves and balls and bats and whatever to play. And he knew that I was playing. So, you know, once that process was going on, he just decided he wouldn't interfere.
All right. Well, it seemed to work out well because you seemed to excel. When did you graduate from John Burroughs? What year, if you recall?
June of 1949.
All right. And then you mentioned that you went on to Princeton.
Went on 4 years at Princeton.
And that was a scholarship. Was that an academic or a sports scholarship, if you recall?
No, they didn't have any sports scholarship, and they still don't, allegedly, but it's a deal where you have to have the combination of good academics plus, you know, if you do some sports, that may be a plus in your resume. And so I went there initially from, like, I think I got the Missouri. I think Princeton has one scholarship out of Missouri, and then eventually I got they had one out of four states, and then after I was there for my first year, I won a Larkin scholarship that was from a lady in Armstrong, Texas, that donated my monies because her son had been killed in the Second World War. And it was a Larkin scholarship, and that was a competitive thing. And I had a very good academic year my first year at Princeton, so I didn't apply for it, but they put me up for it. I think really because I had moved to New York, St. Louis, Missouri wanted to get me off their scholarship list.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, that's how that worked out. So I
that made somebody else happy, and you were still happy yourself. So
I remember that the tuition was $400 a term, and there's two terms in a year. That's $800, and my scholarship was $1,000. So the other $200 went toward my board and room, which for sure ate that up. And my mother and dad sent me $5 a week to live on.
And you were able to. That's what's even
that's
more amazing.
Yeah, that's a movie and a hamburger.
Now, at Princeton, in addition to your studies, what sports did you participate in?
I played basketball, and for 3 years. My fourth year, I couldn't because I had signed a contract with the Red Sox.
All right.
I'll give that story if you want it.
Yes, I will want to get into that. And okay. And you also played baseball.
Right.
I take. Did you play all 3 years of baseball also?
Well, the first year you have to play freshman. They had, you know, I was on the freshman team, and I played freshman, and then I played sophomore and junior. We went to Omaha my sophomore year, and I pitched out there in relief, I think.
So that was the College World Series?
Right.
So you had a pretty successful program there at Princeton while you were there.
Yeah, and then we went to the NCAA tournament in basketball.
As what?
My sophomore year. And
you played freshman basketball there as well.
Right, freshman basketball, and then I was a starter on the varsity for 2 years.
And what position did you play at college?
I was a forward.
Okay.
I was one of the first big forwards. At 6 foot, I think they put me at 6 foot five by then. They had to stretch to get it there, but I played on their basketball team. We had a pretty good team. We had good people.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I did look that up a little bit on the internet, and in the 1950-51 season, which would have been, I guess, your sophomore year.
Right.
It's listing the record as 15-7.
Right.
And then for 1951 and 1952, that would have been your junior year.
Right.
Which would have been the last year you played. They list your record as 16-11 and 10-2 league champs.
Right.
And that would have been the year you went to the NCAA?
Yeah, I think the year we were league champs was the year we set. I think they've got that wrong. I think we were league champs the year before that, and not the other year. But I forget which. But we went there because we were Ivy League champs. That was our credentials. But there's only about 16 teams in there.
That was probably back in the day where you had to be a champion even to get in, if I recall.
Well, I think we were tied with Duke. With the number one seed, which I think at that point was Duquesne.
I see.
We were tied 39-39 at three quarters, but then they beat us in the fourth quarter, and then I never forget. We flew into Chicago, and we had a police escort down to the hotel. They all the teams came in that way.
Uh-huh.
And we played a game, and we woke up the next day, we had a police escort back to the airport, and we were back home.
Before you knew it. That's amazing. Now, do you recall at all what your scoring average either of those 2 years was?
I don't know. We used a weave, and it was a low-scoring team. I averaged better than 10 and less than 15. That would probably be where I was, probably two or three on the team.
And then do you remember who your coach was? I'm just thinking. Cappy Capon. Is that a C-A-P-O-N?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe two P's. I think it's C-A-P-O-N. Yeah. Cappy had two P's, but I think it was C-A-P-O-N. He was an old University of Michigan man. He was a good man, but he had a very antiquated basketball system.
And then in baseball, what kind of success did you have?
I had pretty good success. I forget my record there. I think I still own the ERA, career ERA record at Princeton. I think it was 1.12 or something like that.
Oh, that's terrific.
I pitched pretty well. I had a couple of bad games over the two varsity years. Not bad games, but just little off. We didn't have much hitting, and I could throw hard.
Sure. Now, had you developed any other pitches, or were you just?
Oh, sure. I had a curveball. My problem, if I had to lay out my problems, is that I had from the time I picked up a baseball, I had the talent to pitch, and I was able to pitch all through high school and all through college. And I could always get people out with my fastball. And I had a decent curve at one point, and I didn't have much of a change. But I never had really to learn how to pitch. Plus, I was all, this will sound odd to you, but in high school and in college, you're always, not so much now, but back in those days, you always pitched in a Brick Creek open field. So the background behind the pitcher was always the sky or the trees or, you know, something that was very, very, very much light. So, but when you get into organized baseball, that background turns out to be a green wall.
Oh, sure.
And it's just like in tennis, you know how they put the green screening up behind the server. And the batters can see the ball an awful lot better the better that background is.
Absolutely.
And during my whole career, I never really had to learn how to pitch, to move the ball in and out, keep the ball down, because I always thought that I was so much of a big shot out there that I could throw the ball so hard. So I wish I had pushed more for learning a little bit more how to pitch. Not, you know, everybody can tell you how to pitch, but really doing it.
Sure.
But anyway, that's that story.
Now, do you remember who your coach was in baseball there at Princeton?
Yeah, well, it started off to be Emerson Dickman. He was there for the first year. He was an old pitcher for the Red Sox.
Well, that's what I was asking for, because sometimes the college coaches were former baseball players themselves.
Sometimes Emerson Dickman was my coach my sophomore year, and then Eddie Donovan, who his assistant. Dickman didn't come back junior year, and Eddie Donovan was the coach my junior year and my senior year when I was there and didn't play, but I still worked out with him.
Well, now, was Eddie Donovan a former player himself? That name's familiar.
He was mainly a basketball player.
That's where I heard of that. Yes.
I don't know. He's from Newport, Rhode Island. Great man. Fabulous guy. My best friend ever at Princeton.
Well, isn't that wonderful? All right. Now, you were telling me earlier, and I want to get into that a little bit, how you did not finish your final year. I take it you did stay the full 4 years at Princeton as far as the academics were concerned.
Oh, sure. Right. That was, of course, that was with my dad's directive.
And you have a degree from Princeton.
Yeah, I have magna cum laude in...